World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Sorry if I'm grossing you out here this morning, man. Worked my butt off yesterday. I'm not griping, not moaning, complaining. Just telling you, I am. I thought all the work was done with Sky High until yesterday. Jeez, you crying me? Steve Deck's doing some work on the. Steve Deck's doing some work on the on our septic system and rebuilding the, anyway. And man, beat the crap out of us yesterday. Tired, worn out. So. If our energy level's a little bit low, that's why. So hang in there with us today. And honored as always that you guys would join us. And I came to the realization, maybe I didn't think about this a whole lot. Because in a lot of ways, I look at us as all of us here as just kind of, you know, brothers and sisters. And get in here in the morning and we share. What you think, what I think, and everybody's opinion matters here. But then I come to the realization that there are more people watching us than are in the huddle. Like right now, I look here, it says there's 48 people directly in the Coach Dave Live huddle. That means that you went to Coach Dave Live. Spencer, can you throw that up there real quick for him? Some of you know this. Maybe you're watching on Facebook right now. Maybe you're watching on Rumble. Maybe wherever you're watching. If you want to be interactive, in other words, you want to be able to ask questions and make your comment, then you go to the Coach Dave Live and click on right that. Spencer's got it up there for us. It says join the queue. And you hey Spencer, they don't need to download anything anymore, do they? Like they used to have to. Go ahead, do they? Only if you're doing it on a phone, then you have to download. What's that called, Spencer?
Google Meet.
Google Meet. If you're doing it on a phone, you have to download Google Meet on your phone. But if you're watching on a computer streaming, just go to Coach Dave Live, boom, it pops up. Live feed. And you can interact and you can do whatever. But again, I don't know what I said again. It's open content, man. It's open. I don't know how many are listening. People say all the time, how big's your audience? I don't know. I don't know. I got new headphones here. I care. I don't know. What does it matter? You're here. We're trying to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. But if you want to get in, then you got to go online. Spencer just had it up there and join the queue, and then you can tell us what you think. You don't have to agree with us. And I got to confess to you. I got some people out there who are, oh God, they hate us. Hate me. Oh God. Huh? It's a why? Those are their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. By the way, I'm going to get into that today. You're born. I don't start that controversy. You're born as a child of the devil. You understand that? Sort of. You're born as a child of the devil. I'm going to get into born again some stuff today because a lot of people, we get new people every day, and I want you to be able to understand exactly what your Christianity is all about. Look, Coach Dave Live here. Huh? Me? I was raised Catholic. Not that that matters. I mean, it's neither here nor there. But when I was in the Catholic Church, I had no understanding of the Bible. When I went to church my whole life, I didn't take a Bible with me. There wasn't a Bible in the pew. I just did what that guy up there with that funny uniform on, that funny hat. I just did whatever it was he told me to do. And I think it's true beyond Catholicism, whether you be a Baptist or whether you be a Lutheran or whether you be a Methodist or whether you be an Episcopalian or whether you be a Church of God or whether you be a Church of God in Christ or whether you be a Church of God in Christ, whatever. Most, for the most part, you
obey that guy standing in the pulpit. I mean, that's okay. But how about this? How do you know he's telling you the truth? Well, coach, he's been to cemetery school. Yeah, yeah. Well, coach, he's studied. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, who did he learn from? Right? What's the theme here? Who told you that? Why do you believe him? On January 28th, I have it written right here in my Bible, if you bear with me a second. On January 28th, 19, I wrote it in my Bible. Hang on. That's my wife's birthday, by the way. January 28th, 1987. I got born again. I didn't know what it meant. I got born again. Jesus told us that, you know, you had to be born again. And I continue to be amazed. Well, that's not true. I'm going to say this to you. Most Christians I run into are not born again. They were, what do they call that? Not baptized, confirmed. They did all the Sunday school stuff that they were told when they were little kids and their parents had them. But they didn't understand the born again experience and what that was all about. And I want to share some of that with you today. Again, because we get new viewers all the time, and I want to make sure that the language makes sense. That we're following what we're doing. Is it okay? Am I doing all right? Somebody egg me on. Am I doing okay? I know. Okay, thanks. So I'm going to let me, Spencer, pull up. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, but thanks, man. Folks, Spencer, pull up for me. The first thing says born again. It's going to be good for some of you. Say, Coach Dave, I was in the church my whole life. I never knew that. First one, me, born again. The very first one. Or did I just send it to me? Yeah. Spencer's doing some stuff here on my computer. I don't know why it's not popping up, Spence. There it is. It's not on my screen. Okay, Spencer said just a minute. Folks, new system here today, right? We told you that. New system. Spencer's working out all the clicks in it. So I just went to Wikipedia. People say, Coach, why do you go to Wikipedia? That's not really even anything other than people just come in and, you know, they put their own opinions in there. And that's sort of what Wikipedia. Whoops, sorry. Let me turn that off. And I like Wikipedia because it's not the Bible. It's not some pastor, right? It's the opinion of other people. So I went to Wikipedia this morning as I was preparing. By the way, thank you, Roger. Denny, our friend Denny in Iowa, passed away yesterday. He's been struggling for a couple of weeks. Really, really knew he was getting ready to pass, and he did pass yesterday. So we remember Denny today. Thank you, Lord. He's with you. We know he is. So Wikipedia says to be born again or to experience a new birth. Bear with me, friends, as I look over here, okay? Is a phrase particularly in evangelical Christianity that refers to a spiritual rebirth or a regeneration of the human spirit. In contrast to one's physical birth, remember, I'm going to get into it today. Stay with me. Going to be a little bit of a teaching today from a guy who never went to cemetery. In contrast to one's physical birth, being born again is distinctively and separately caused by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And it occurs when one accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. About a year ago, the Pope debunked being born again. Pope said, that ain't true. You can't be born again, have a personal relationship. I'm not making it up. It's what the Pope said, okay? So it occurs when one accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and also believing that he died, was buried in a tomb, rose again to life on the third day. While all Christians are familiar with the concept from the Bible, it is a core doctrine of the denominations of the Moravian, Methodist, Plymouth Brethren, Pentecostal churches, along with other evangelical Christian denominations, such as the Evangelical Quakers, the Baptists. These churches stress Jesus' words in the gospel. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Their doctrines also hold to be born again, thus saved. Again, some of you maybe have never heard any of this. One must have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Term born again has its origin in the New Testament, the first epistle of Peter. The author describes the new birth as taking place from the seed, which is the word of God. In the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus himself refers to the word of God as the seed. In contemporary, again, folks, this is a secular source, okay? In contemporary Christian usage, and apart from evangelicalism, the term is distinct from the similar terms which are sometimes used in Christianity in reference to a person who is or is becoming a Christian. I remember when I was going through the battle with the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1997, one of the school board members, I asked him, I said, are you born again? And in a private meeting, he was acting like a real a-hole. And so I said to him, are you born again? And he says, I'll have you know I was born a Methodist. I said, well, dude, that explains a lot. You weren't born again. The Bible says without being born again, it's impossible to see. So the term, don't be astonished, I said, you must be born again. Their doctrines also include to be born again and thus saved. The word saved. One must have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow, this is so. In contemporary Christian usage, and apart from evangelicalism, the term is distinct from similar terms, which are sometimes called in Christianity, in reference to a person who is or becoming a Christian. The usage of the term is usually linked to baptism and water, and a doctrine of baptism or regeneration, and individuals who profess to be born again, meaning born in the Holy Spirit, I'm reading over here, bear with me, often state that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, I was in church my whole life to 1978, January 28th, 1978. Lost my headphone there. And didn't know what it meant to be born again. I didn't think it'd happen to me. It happened to me. I got born from above. I stepped into, I received Christ as my Savior, and I like to tell people it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It changed me into a brand new person. Have you had that experience? Have you had that born again experience? Spencer, I got stuff flopping all over because I want to just put one. I got stuff flopping all over. Born again. Are you born again? Hey, folks out there, you born again? Huh? You born again? It's unbelievable how many people you go to church with who do not know what it means to be born again. I got to get my stuff here, Spencer, so I can see what's going on. Okay, so here's what I want to take you on a little bit of a journey here today, and I want to hear from you. But I want go to Spencer, if you would go for me right now. Let's work backwards, okay? Can we work backwards here a second? Remember yesterday we were talking about the person being three parts: body, soul, spirit. Pull up number six. Bear with us here a second, folks. Somebody say something. You all hearing me out there? Anybody say, yeah, we hear you, Coach.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so yesterday, remember real quickly at the end of the show yesterday, I talked about a body being three parts, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And I got some emails from people said, Coach, I didn't know that. So going to church your whole life and not really understanding what's going on. So I pulled this up really, really quickly for those of you in the back of the bus who don't understand this. I'm not making fun of you. You want to know why your spirit, you want to know why your religious, your spiritual walk is dead? You've been born again. I said, I never even heard such a thing. I know. Catholic Church, they call it confirmation. And confirmation, confirming that I'm a Catholic. Yes. So I pull up Crosswalk because it's a pretty good website. Folks, bear with it. Yeah, I'm telling you, this new setup here has got me. Where am I supposed to look next, Coach? Where am I supposed to look? What is it? I get Crosswalk. Okay, so what's the difference between the body, the soul, and the spirit? Have you ever wondered that? Scroll down, Spence, if you can. Each time I crack an egg, I'm reminded of how God created us, our body, our soul, and our spirit, because of a simple yet profound lesson that I learned at church. The shell of the egg is our body. It gives us the ability to touch, taste, hear, see, and smell. It's our body. Our body. The yolk of the egg is our mind. It's our thoughts. It's our emotions. So you got the egg, and inside the egg is a yolk. All right? Which is our character. I'm sorry. While the thin membrane that encompasses the yolk is our spirit. So you got the yolk, and then you got that white part that you don't like to eat when you cook an egg, which is our character, our personality, and gives us ability to commune with God. I'd never look at an egg again without thinking of how we were created. Three in one. Wow. Shell, yolk, and that white goo. Hmm. Have you ever wondered the difference between the mind, body, and soul? Well, let's get started on how God created us. From the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God forms Adam from the dust of the earth. There's the shell. Forms the dust, forms the body. And then he breathes into Adam's lungs and gives Adam a spirit, the spirit's life. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's Genesis. What is that? Genesis 6:2, maybe? Is that what it is, Spencer? Look at that real quick. Is that Genesis 6:2? Genesis 2, yeah, Genesis 2:7. 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There's three parts: body, soul, spirit. You with me? And now, hey, folks, I was 35 years old. I never understood this. I didn't know this. Well, so have you ever wondered the difference between the mind, body, and soul? Well, let's get started on how God created us. From the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God forms Adam from the earth, breathes into him life in his lungs, and gives Adam his own spirit. And God takes it a step further and tells him he was created in his likeness. God, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the three in one inside of us. This means we can say the soul is real and the body is real. Both are distinct entities and still separate from the physical body. Okay, so are you with me here? Folks, look. All of us have received the breath of life. All of us were formed in the womb. We're all formed, and we all receive the Spirit of God, which is life, and we all have a soul. And the soul is you, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and who you are. And if you have not been regenerated by being born again from above, I'm going to get to that in a second, then you're going to continue to go to church and have no power and act like a fool. Because God said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses into Jerusalem, Judea, the othermost parts of it. Pull that up there, Spencer, because they don't believe me. You shall receive power. Jesus said to the disciples in the book of Acts, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So there's a difference between your spirit, breath of life in you, brings you life. Everybody that you see, wherever you go, has received the breath of life from God. Everybody has. Everybody has life. Right? And he said to the disciples, it's not known for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power. Hang on. Somebody help me out. Over there in the audience. Are these guys already alive and breathing and grown men? These guys here? These disciples, are they are? They're already live and walking around. Okay, wondered. So these aren't just some little puppies. He says to these guys, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you do that, you're going to be witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Hebron, Connecticut, Louisiana, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they were beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of his sight. So you have to be born again from above. Now, hang on. I'm not arguing whether or not it's a salvation issue. I'm not arguing that. I'm going to ask you this. Is there any power in your life? You know why there's power in my life? You know why there's power in my words? I've been born again. From above. I was a grown man. I was 38 years old. And they asked the disciples about it. Jesus said to them, I don't have this up here. I'm just trying to help you out here. He said to, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Which one is that, Spencer? Isn't that one of them I put up in there? Hang on with me, folks. I'm getting used to the new system. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, what? What are you talking about, Willis? What are you talking about? So man is a body. Okay? Bible says he created man, breathed him the breath of life. So the breath of life comes from God. And that's Genesis 1, isn't it? And man became, thanks, Spencer, stay right there. And man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2. Pull that back up. I'm sorry, Spence. I'm all over the place. Genesis, hey, friends, there's some people watching right now who don't understand this. If you understand it, bear with me, okay? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit, man. So we got us an earth guy. We got a big clump of clay. And God breathed in him the breath of life. Okay, come on. And man became something. He wasn't something. He became something. You know what it says? And man became a living soul. I'm going to read that again. God formed him out of dust, breathed life into him, and man became a living soul. What's a soul? What's a soul? Well, pull up number 6. What's the soul? The difference between, well, where are we? So what is the soul? I'm looking over here on the screen. Many have debated whether or not there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. But there are several scriptures that clearly separate the soul and the spirit. The spirit brings life. It is your communication device to communicate with God. When you get born again, you enter into God's frequency. It's like plugging in your computer to the internet when you get born again. And there are a lot of people walking around with a computer and ain't logged in. Because nobody ever told them they had to log in. You log into your computer and look what happens. You must be born again. So the key verses in Hebrews 4:12, when the author says, for the word of God is living. Folks, imagine electric communication portals. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. When you die, your spirit goes back to God who gave it. And there you are, that soul, man. The mind, the will, and the emotions. That thing that makes you who you are. You got a soul. You're a living soul. You're a living soul. When you die, someone dies, it's the spirit leaving their body. They're no longer plugged in. They turn the lights out. Boom! Where's the power go? Goes back to God, Bible says. I won't take you there.
And then we know what happens to the body. We know what happens to the body, right? They put it in a hole and the casket stick in the ground. And remember, man, you're dust, and to the dust you shall return. And you go lay in a ground, you go lay in a casket, and you decay. You decay. So your life, when your life, Lindsey Graham's life, went back to God who gave it. And Lindsey Graham's body is soon going to be put in a casket and stuck in a hole. Container. It was the container. The body is the container. It's the car that carries you around. Remember, man, your flesh. Remember, man, your dust. And to dust you shall return, the Bible says, right? So they stick that old guy in the grave, and he's done till the great resurrection. That's a whole different story, right? But spirit, life returns to God who gave it. Body goes into the grave, and your soul, whoa. Now, let me pause right here because I don't know. What happens to your soul when you die? Remember, we live in a time-space continuum. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I get that. Doesn't tell me what condition I'm in when I'm present with the Lord. Doesn't tell me whether I'm awake. Doesn't tell me anything. I just know this. When absent from the body, present with the Lord. So whether you're born again or not born again, when you are dead, your body's in that grave and it turns to dust. And the life that was in you is gone because it returned to God who gave it. Everybody who dies had life from God. Everybody was born the same way. We all have life. We die, it's gone. It's like a vapor, the Bible says. It's here and then it's gone. So there's your body in the grave, your life returned to God, and there stands your soul, man. And your soul is you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, your personality. It's who you are. And that is the only thing that's left and the only thing that matters. So I'm reading over here. What's the difference between the soul and the spirit? Well, there's several key differences. In the simplest terms, well, let me go back there. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit. So obviously they're not the same thing. The soul and the spirit. Joints and marrow, physical, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. Huh? Yeah, your personality, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Anybody ever said, take captive every thought? Why do you take captive every thought? Because as soon as you speak it, you can't take it back. So you better think before you speak. How many times out there have you said something and said, damn, I wish I hadn't said that? Take captive every thought. Lord, I heard that. Should I say it? Is this the proper time to say it, Lord? In the simplest terms, a soul is made up of our mind, our wills, and our free will. In Hebrew, it's called the nefesh, which means breathing creature. It's our most basic definition. It can translate to several different meanings, such as soul, mind, or life. Okay, so here it is. You die, boom, you die. Spirit's gone, goes back to God. Old body, they embalm it, and they keep it around for a while. They lay in a casket, and everybody comes by. Oh, he looks so handsome. Right, we all know how that game's played. And then what? After the whole party's over, they stick you in a hearse. They drive down the road. They stick you in a hole, and they cover you up with dirt, and you is gone. However, not the soul. No. Our soul, all of us, our souls are going to go stand before God. Number four. Am I doing okay out there? I don't need your approval. I'm doing the best I can. Right? What's the great white throne judgment? Every one of us, that's a time out of it. I'll be really honest with you, friends. I don't know where you go when you die. Understand this. There's no time outside of this realm. When you die, you go someplace where there ain't no time. I know that's hard for us to understand. There's no time there. That's why they say to be absent, the body's present with the Lord. Doesn't say you're in heaven. You're in that realm, wherever he is, you're there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no time there.
See, I'll be honest with you. Oh, I always try to be honest with you. I don't know if my mom and dad are in heaven right now. Or are they? No time. No time, right? No time. So if they've left this realm where there's time and there is someplace where there isn't any time, then they're not in a holding tank. They just, there's no time. Apps from the body, boom. In the presence of the Lord, whatever that means. That realm, wherever God is, you're there. Are they in heaven yet? I don't think anybody's in heaven yet. I'll show you why here in a second. Well, some may be, but I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think grandma's up here looking down on you. I don't believe. Okay, so hang on. So the great wide throne judgment, this is going to happen to all of us, friends. All of us are going to, when we die, our body's going into the grave, our life's going back to God, and the soul man is going to go stand before God. The Bible calls it the great white throne judgment. When does it occur? We could argue. We could get into religious issues about it. I'm not here to argue about that. The white throne judgment is described in Revelation 20, 15 through 11. It is the final judgment prior to the lost being cast into the lake of fire. So wait a minute, coach. They buried him. Yeah, it ain't your body. It ain't your body. It's you. It's me, this thing that's talking to you. My soul is going to leave, stay alive. My body, they're dunking me down in the ground. My spirit's already gone. I'm dead. My spirit's alive. What's left is my soul. All right? We know from Revelation 20, 17 that this judgment will take place after the millennium and after Satan is thrown in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And the books are open. Can we go there, Spencer? Go to Revelation. Just go to Revelation 27 through 15. Are you looking at me? Look, there is no time in heaven. There's no time outside this realm. Quit thinking time. Stop it. Spencer's going to pull that up. Okay. That's not what I want, Spencer. Go to, that's what it says. Try 7 through 10. Yes, 7 through 10. Okay, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out and deceive the nations with the four corners of the earth. Gog, Magog, blah, 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 blah. When up on the breadth of the earth comes, excuse me. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, which was the beast and false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever. Okay? And I saw a great white throne. And there was some guy sitting on it. And from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Folks, no time. No time. My grandma Teen, who died in 1963, she's somewhere, but she ain't in heaven. That's the way I read it. She ain't in heaven. She's somewhere. She ain't in heaven. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books are opened. Huh? What are you talking about, Willis? Yeah. And the books were opened. Uh-oh! And another book was opened. So we got us two books here. We got us two books. And that other book, which is open, is called the Book of Life. So they got the two books. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So they're going to hit a computer printout, and a Rolodex is going to come down, a list of your works. Good and bad, it's going to be a list of them. And you're going to stand, and the sea gave up their dead, death and hell delivered up the dead. That's why death and hell, they were all judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me give you a picture. You're standing before God. Everybody's there. I got a video on that here. I'll show you that here in a second. You're standing before God and everybody's there. Everybody, if I understand it right. Big screen TV. It's your trial. You're going to stand before the Lord. And they're going to open the books. What are in the books? Everything you ever did. You go to the judge in the court and says, does he have a previous record? Yes, Your Honor, he does. Everything, every sin you ever committed. And the judge is going to look at you and say, what you got to say for yourself, boy? What you got to say for yourself, boy? And you're not going to be able to say anything. And then your attorney named Jesus Christ is going to stand up and say, Your Honor, I paid the fine. The wages of sin is death, and I paid it for him. You want to know why? Open up that second book, the book of life. And you get your name in the book of life when you purposely, intentionally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He writes your name in that book. When he writes your name in that book, and then you die, and you go stand before the judge is going to open up your book. What do you say for yourself, boy? What do you say for yourself? You say, look in that other book, that book of life. I'm in that other book of life. And the judge is going to look down at you. God's going to look down at you and say, hey, guilty, but forgiven. The price has been paid. That's what it's about. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why they used to cut up goats and bulls and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they needed blood. Blood covered sin. Pull up number seven. I'm going to open up. I didn't mean to go on. I'm going to tell you something. I'll bet you this... 60%, 70%, maybe even higher, of Christians have no idea what I just told you. They have no understanding at all. They think it's going to church and doing all the rigmarole and all that stuff. Are you born again? Jesus said, you must be born again. So Nicodemus says, how am I get born again? What are you talking about? He said, oh, no, dude. He said, for that which is flesh, you're thinking about the pot. I ain't talking about that. You got to be born again from on high. Holy Spirit, come and fill that tank. That tank. Fill it. Then you'll hear his voice. You'll obey his voice. And until you're born again, you don't have the internet connection. Go ahead and play the great white throne judgment. Hey, that's why people say you got to get saved. Saved from what? From being cast into the lake of fire, dude. You got to get saved. You got to get the life preserver. The life. You got to get your life jacket. Get saved. Go ahead. Wait at 1:45.
The scene is set in the distant future, at the end of time as we know it. The earth and sky have vanished, no longer present. And in their place stands a mighty, awe-inspiring vision, a vast, brilliant throne, radiant and white as snow. The great white throne, where God himself sits in judgment. His glory is so overwhelming, the brightness of the throne more dazzling than the sun, casting a light so pure and intense that no shadow dares to appear. From his throne, a vast sea of humanity is gathered, stretching beyond sight. No one is missing. Every person who has ever lived, from every age, every nation, and every corner of the earth, stands before this judgment seat. No escape is possible. No hiding place remains. All the living and the dead, whether great or small, have come to stand in his presence. The one who sits on the throne is none other than God, whose voice is like thunder, shaking the very foundation of creation. The books are open before him, vast and endless, each page containing the record of every deed ever done, every word ever spoken, and every thought ever thought by those who stand before him. This is the moment of truth. No secrets, no mistakes, no excuses can be hidden. Every life is laid bare. Then another book is opened, the book of life. This book holds the names of those who have been faithful, those whose names have been written in it from the very beginning of time, chosen by God himself for eternal life with him. As the judgment begins, the books are read aloud.
Each person's life is revealed. For some, their deeds are dark, full of evil, their actions stained by sin. They had lived for themselves, rejected God, and followed the ways of the world. Others had chosen to walk in the light, their hearts marked by faith and repentance. Yet it is clear that the majority will face the consequences of their rebellion. Their sins have not been washed away, and they have not repented. For those whose names are not found in the Book of Life, there is only one fate: eternal separation from God. These people are cast into the lake of fire, a place of torment and destruction, prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a place of unimaginable suffering, where death and hell are swallowed up, never to be seen again. It is a final, irrevocable judgment. There is no second chance. As the great crowd watches, the lake of fire swallows the guilty, and the terror of this moment reverberates through all who remain. There are no more tears, no more chances for salvation. The finality of God's judgment is absolute and unyielding. And so, in that final moment, death and hell themselves are destroyed. They are cast into the same lake of fire, no longer to torment or claim the souls of the lost. This is a second death, an eternal death, where those who are cast into the fire will never live again, their existence consumed by the flames of eternal judgment. As the judgment ends, the throne remains, silent and steadfast. The faithful, those whose names are found in the Book of Life, stand in the presence of God, their lives forever redeemed and eternally secured in His kingdom. The new heaven and the new earth begin, and all things are made new. This passage from Revelation is a powerful depiction of the final judgment. It serves as a sobering reminder that, at the end of time, all will stand before God, and each person's eternal destiny will be determined based on their response to His grace and truth. Today, while there is still opportunity, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart to provoke the Lord. Come to Jesus while there is still time.
Okay,
it may be your last chance.
I'm going to open it up here. I've covered a lot here this morning. So what's our job? What's my job? When I got born again and filled with the Spirit of God, excuse me, I was transformed. I became a brand new guy. I lost friends. I still have people who think I'm nuts. But see, I don't get mad at them because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not born again. Bible says, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom, let alone enter. You can't even understand this whole kingdom thing in which we're operating if you're not born again. And how do you get born again? Well, you get born again from on high. Spirit of Christ comes and dwells inside you. The Holy Spirit actually comes, and it's a quickening spirit. It takes that spirit man that was inside you, and it indoctrinates it in a brand new life. The problem we have in America, I believe, as people don't understand that power, what it means to be born again. To know that when you're born again, you are now what they call an ambassador. You're ambassador of a new kingdom into the old one. And we're told to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded. Why? Because we're ambassadors. We got born again. We got saved. Our eyes got open. And now we're supposed to go tell people. I'd go huddle and hide in our church. If you're going to church someplace, and every Sunday when church is over, by the way, we could argue about Sunday, but every Sunday when the church is over, if the pastor has not given you a charge this week, go do some homework. And when you come back next week, bring your homework. You say, well, that would be works. I don't get to heaven by works. No, you don't. You got to heaven by being born again, and now you're hired. You're an ambassador. Your job is to go into all the world and teach them to observe all He's commanded you. And lo, He's with you always, even until the end of the age. And look, you're going to go some places, and they ain't going to receive it. Why? They can't. They're not born again. They cannot. They don't have the internet on the mind. You say, you got to get born again, dude. What do you mean? You got to plug into the internet of God. When you plug into the internet of God, then you can communicate. You can Google search. You can do things that you never did before. Because why? The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Man, this is good. I don't know if you're picking up on it all. Every day when I come here, the Holy Spirit pours out of me. I don't know if you see that. It's just me. Just an old body of clay. It's me. Just like you. The soul, mind, will, and emotions. And the Holy Spirit of God gives me ability to control the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'm born again. A new spirit is controlling me. That old dead spirit's gone. I've been born anew. And I would say most churches don't even understand it. Come on in, George.
I'm a soul man. Do-do-do-do-do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I
can. Okay, thanks, Coach. I just wanted to say this. Yes, that's for sure. When you're able to plug into the computer, it's just amazing, and it's like a freight train. But I wanted to say this. When I got plugged in, on the very first thing that the Lord showed me was on the very first page of the Bible. Seven's his number. Well, the very last bit, you're talking about being taken out of the book of life and all new Bibles that say you're taken out of the tree of life. And that's what you just look for yourself. They say you're going to be taken out of the tree of life and you can't be. It was chopped down by the watchers in Daniel chapter 4, verse 23, and on the first page of the Bible.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
You're on page 87. And
we're okay, sorry. But yes, Coach.
We're on page.
Okay.
Hey, George, are you born again?
Yes.
Okay, then time. When you're born again, then you have different giftings. Of different giftings. You have different
I don't understand giftings. It.
Well, but, of course we don't understand
exciting.
It.
Yeah, it's I don't
of
understand.
Of course we don't understand it. Folks, I'm telling you, listen, are you listening to me? You know a lot of Christians that aren't born again. I'm telling you. I was born Christian. I was raised Christian. Well, good for you. I was confirmed Catholic. Well, good for you. How good does that do you? Are you born again from on high? Dale, come on in.
Coach, I have much to say on these things, but I think you ruined my Sunday morning service because I talked about being an ambassador. What is an ambassador and what is an embassy? Just get this. The embassy is the sovereign land of the country in which it represents. In other words, the United States Embassy in any country is deemed the sovereign land of the country which it's sent, it's represented. Amen. Coach, Amen. This is where we go to when you're in another country and you need to run into the shelter of the Most High. You run into the embassy. And yes, we're sir. The ambassador. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who represents the laws and the cultures and the nature of the country in which sent it. We are now ambassadors. We are the ambassadors of Christ,
yes,
God. We yep. represent Christ's kingdom here in the earth, Coach.
Amen.
Now here,
Amen.
And that I'm just telling you, that's what I preached on this Sunday. It was so awesome to hear you say wow. that. But wow. salvation is, look, we don't mind the born again. Look, American Christianity is a disease. Don't catch it. We have no problem with the born again experience. It's that lordship
oh,
that
yeah.
we have a problem with. Okay, I'll sit back now.
Amen. Oh boy. What? You mean he is your boss? Holy Spirit's your boss? You say, Coach, you don't get to heaven by works. No, but if you just followed what we just said, when you get there, they open the Bible, or I'm sorry, they open the books, and what's written in there? Your works. God, if you're born
well,
again,
Coach,
there ought to be works.
That same passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, is getting down a little bit further. It says, and you will, not that you might, but that you will give an account for everything you have done in your body,
every idle word,
whether
that's
being
right.
good or bad.
Amen. Folks, but the good news is, if you receive Christ, he pays the sacrifice. He pays the fine. He pays, his blood covers your sins. Wow. Betty.
Good morning. I'll tell you what, I love that day that I was born again. I was totally transformed. And I love the way you put it, that you were a Superman in a telephone booth.
Yep.
The great way of finding out if someone's born again is ask them about their testimony.
Amen.
Say, well, we believe. No, tell me what happened to you. How did
That's
you
right.
change? And because I changed instantly, and a lot of people know that I was in a child trafficking situation, but I changed in an instant. That, you know, I
hey,
tell
Betty,
you what, I was
Betty,
in the worst place.
Betty, hang on a second, Betty. What's your birthday?
February 16th, 58.
What's your born again birthday?
It was.
Wait, listen, we should be able to answer that, folks. We should be able to answer when the new birth came. It should be a moment in your life when the new birth happened. And hey, it could be right now. It could be right now. Say, Coach, I never understood any of that, Coach. I want to be born again. Right, right, Betty? Happened
yes.
to you?
Yes.
Did it happen to anybody else out there? Anybody else out there ever get born again and remember the moment that it happened to them? And let me ask you this. If you can't remember that moment, I question whether you've ever been born again. Not whether or not you're a Christian, not whether you were confirmed. Have you ever been born again? Betty, I know it shuts you off. Go quickly.
Well, yes, mine was winter of 1971, because in the situation I was, we didn't keep track of days and time and stuff, but I know it was the winter of 1971. It was very cold. It was probably about 40 below.
Okay.
and folks, I do remember.
Yeah, folks, can you listen? I'm talking to you right now. Do you know them? Can you point at that? November 26, 1952. I popped out of my mom. I know that date. Do you know the date that you were born from on high? Why don't you? Why don't you know that date? Why don't you? Well, it could be because you ain't never had that birthday. Maybe. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you know how we hear, I call them churchgoers, they say certain things. Just like what we've talked about before, they say, well, we'll be out of here soon. They got things they say. They just, I heard it Sunday morning when David's speaking, a couple people sitting there saying, I'm like, oh my God. But here's another one I hear a lot, and I'm trying to figure this out. Last night in the scripture reading, me and Mary Jane, I come across this. You ever hear people, they always say, well, there's none good. No, not one.
That's right.
Gives them excuse. Everybody's terrible. Everybody's terrible. So last night, and I just want, if anybody's got any comments on that, what their feelings are and what their thoughts on, well, how they foresee that. What does it mean to say that? No, none good, not one.
Because we were born into sin. We're born into sin. You get born again.
Yeah. Well, here's where the scripture was. If you want to pull it up, and if anybody wants to comment on it, it's Psalms 14. And the subtitle of it is David Describes Foolish People. I was reading this last night, and I'm like, oh, there it is. It's like, this is a question I've always had. But it's really short, 7 verses, if you want to read that.
Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good, none. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they all are all gone aside. They're all together filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And having all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, call not upon the Lord. There were they in great fear. There were they in great fear, for God is a generation of righteous. And you have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captive of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be made glad. You must be born again. James Thomas, go. I gotta get you and Dave Allison in here. Go, James.
Hey brother. Good thing. I think Dale kind of hit it on the head. What are you born again into?
Amen, buddy.
You're born again into something. I mean, we were alive, even though we were dead, up until the point Messiah came into our life. So we were born again when the spirit man, when you go to Kroger and you see men and women walking out, they are dead men walking.
They are, brother.
They are dead people. And it's when the spirit becomes alive, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is our ambassadorship council. And it says, therefore, if anyone be in Messiah, he is a new creation.
Amen. That's me. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yeah, the old has passed away and all things become new. All this is from God through Messiah, reconciled us unto himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors to God, to the world, to the Messiah in Jesus' name. So that
got to move on, JT. Got to move on, JT. Finish up.
So long, brother.
Okay. Dave Allison. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Hey, candidly, Coach, I don't actually physically remember the day I was physically born, right? If my parents wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, it could be lying to you, right? You might be, maybe you're only 27 years old. We don't know.
Yeah, and Coach, and again, your friend Denny, some of us had met him, great guy. And he used to celebrate his birthday. Now I'm assuming when maybe on the, we get the other side, we're going to celebrate our death day, right?
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. That's
right. And last thing, Coach, is when I was born again, one thing I wasn't bored again.
Amen.
Right? And so you have to ask yourself, if you're ambassador for Christ, it's an exciting experience, Coach. I look at your household. I look at your place. There's never a dull moment around the Dobemeyer.
Same here.
I looked at last weekend. I wasn't definitely bored. So, but that born again experience, you will receive power.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dave, I wanted to sit under that tent with those people all day long. I didn't want to go to the bar and drink beer like I used to. I didn't want to go out and carouse. I didn't want to do that. Why? Because I'm born again. I'm a brand new creature. It isn't anything I've done. It's something that he did. His Holy Spirit came. So right now, if you're out there, hey, you've never had that born again experience, just be here with me, okay? Heavenly Father, just repeat this right where you are. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I don't even know if you're real. I heard what it was that Coach Dave spoke about today. And the Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, I'm calling on you now. I want to be born again. I want your Spirit to come and indwell me. Because your word tells me that I will receive power after that Spirit has come upon me. Lord, I want that. I want to be born again. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Wash me clean. Fill me with your Spirit. And make me an ambassador for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Boom.
Now listen. You're born again. But the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? You got to say no to some stuff. And you got to say yes to some other stuff. And you have to learn to hear that small, still voice that will say, better not do that, or you need to do this. And the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. Now, that doesn't mean hear. It means hear and obey. My sheep hear and obey my voice. And another voice they're going to hear, but they ain't going to obey it. And so this idea of the yin and the yang, of the devil in one ear and the Holy Spirit on the other, it's more real than what you understand. And because you've lived your whole life in a carnal state, the new born-again life is going to be different. It's going to feel different. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth, and I give it unto you through the Holy Spirit of God. And it's not charismatic speaking in tongues, although that's part of that. Folks, don't get caught up in all that stuff. And if you look around America, the number of truly born again people isn't as high as we might think it was. Many are called, few are chosen. We've all seen that, the great white throne judgment, right? People standing at the gate. Not everybody gets into that gate. Why are they standing at the gate? Because they think they're going in. They think they're going in. And Jesus said, that old man ain't coming in here. You should have killed that old man back on 7/14/2026 on Coach Dave's show. You should have killed that old carnal man and received that new spirit man. That's what it's all about. And you cannot on your own do good. It just doesn't happen. It's hard enough with the Holy Spirit. Because even with the Holy Spirit, he don't yell at you. He whispers to you. Small, still voice. And that's why I said yesterday, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to say, I heard that, Lord. I heard that, Lord. Acknowledge you heard it, and then obey. Acknowledge you heard it, and then obey. You know what happens then? You hear more and more and more. See you tomorrow.